There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
You can't do the fire song. You're not allowed to.
Like it.
I'm a true American. I don't have any rules.
Oh, yes, you
I
do.
I can kill whoever I want.
Drone strike.
I'm standing my ground.
Really? You think that that's appropriate?
Hey, everybody, I'm standing my ground.
That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. With me to the left, stand your ground, Henry Zebrowski.
I stand my ground. That means I can do anything I want.
That's right.
Yeah, let's have a low center of gravity.
That's right.
That's what people don't realize. That's what that law meant. George Zimmerman had a low legal center of gravity.
Low. He could not move off the ground, so he has to stand
can't
the ground.
Knock him all. Yeah, he's a weeble wobble. He's a weeble wobble. Right. He keeps going, man. And then I heard that he's going to take the gun that he used to kill Trayvon Martin. He's going to keep it for protection for himself. And I think that's good news.
Good news. God knows. He knows how to use it. That's wonderful.
Good news going on.
Stand your ground, Henry Zebrowski. Well, speaking of crime.
It's the end times.
It is the end times. Of course, the Zimmerman one was
so close.
The Zimmerman case was solved. But today we're going to discuss crimes that were not so solved. Some call them unsolved. You know what? It is kind of a cool intro.
Yeah.
He's got a trench coat on. What's under your coat there, Stack?
Big old dick.
It's my loopy penis.
Loopy penis?
Thanks, Robert Stack.
This is great.
Unsolved mysteries.
That was awesome. Loopy penis.
Today we're going into, again, I want to say that these are some of the scarier crimes to the face of the planet because some of these people could still be out there.
Oh, yeah,
looking
definitely.
Looking for sweet, succulent tit meat.
Don't be a prostitute.
They want to shave it off like a bunch of ham. That's what they do to your breasts, ladies.
That's right. That's right. Like a bunch of deli ham. Put some pastrami on top of that and a nice little piece of Munster cheese. You get yourself a $4.99.
You're just making me hungry.
Yeah.
All I've had this morning is a banana. Because I had a monkey's breakfast.
You did have a monkey's breakfast. By the way, I just want to let everyone know listening at home, again, for the second episode in a row, Henry Zebrowski is shirtless.
I am not going to wear a shirt until the summer is over.
Okay.
I am going to murder.
What do you care?
Because I have to stare at it.
You're looking at me. I look like one of your cousins.
All right. So let's get into our first unsolved crime before we get into the monster that is Zodiac.
Well, I would say a lot of these crimes, a lot of them happened before, pre-1960, 1970.
Sure.
Most of these crimes did. And there's a very...
Well, mostly because it's like cops are just... It's like there were 9 hot dog squads going on the country all going like, well, hey, Jeff, what do I do with the knife once I'm done cleaning it?
You weren't supposed to clean it. Yeah, I was cutting it up for the company barbecue.
There's a bunch of blood on it, and I knew for a fact everybody wanted apples and peanut butter for an early snack before lunch.
Well, there is actually, you're closer to the truth than you may think.
Yeah. I know.
Because before around like the 1970s, 1980s, the term serial murderer, serial killer was not in the police lexicon. In fact, most police officers believed that it was almost impossible for a man or a woman to kill someone that they did not know. If there was
the
a murder.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
1945, a man named Adolf Hitler made a gigantic auto industry, technically, and out of killing people he didn't know.
Yeah.
Unless you went around sending, like, get-to-know-you cards.
Right.
And he, like, you know, it's just like, okay, Hattie likes hockey. Hockey and
you can kill her now. You can kill her now. That's good. How much information do you have to know about a person before you're like, I can murder you now. This is good.
It's hat size and favorite color.
That's it. Okay.
Well, police believed that if there was a murder, then it was almost impossible for a stranger to kill them. So a lot of these serial murders, they didn't link them whatsoever. And in fact, BTK, for the longest time, they did not believe, despite there being evidence that these crimes were linked. They're like, nah, they're not linked.
Isn't it so bizarre, all these people falling off the... edge of the mountain with their balls in their mouths and then their eyes, you know, carved with X's. Isn't that
especially
weird?
Especially BTK because they left the fucking panties stuck to their head. Each one,
they all look the exact
same. Cum all covered in it.
Yeah, there's definitely a pattern there.
So so a lot of these
it started
murders,
a long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah, and it wasn't really until Bundy that they really started paying attention to patterns across the United States and eventually popped in on these guys.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of these murders are like pre-1970.
Okay.
So let's start on February 1946.
Ooh.
Two young people, Jimmy Hollis and Mary Jean Larry, were parked on a secluded Bowie County road outside Texarkana. They were forced out of the car by an armed man, his face hidden by a burlap sack with two slits for eyes.
Mm. That's a precursor to our favorite that's coming up very soon.
That's right.
The assailant beat Hollis with the gun, cracking the young man's skull in two places. He then sexually assaulted Larry before fleeing when he saw the headlights of a car approaching. Both of these victims eventually recovered from their wounds.
He used the gun rope.
This is the beginning of the Phantom of Texarkana.
No, that just sounds like a gay show tune, doesn't it? The Phantom of Texarkana.
Also known as Chattanooga Express comes into town, then we'll meet the Phantom of Texarkana.
I mean, the other name for it is no better, the Texarkana Moonlight Murders.
I mean, it's just
adorable.
But the Texarkana Moonlight Murders, I can kind of see as like a cute name for a bunch of people getting their fucking like pussies cored out of them. Like that would be like a fun thing
to read
about.
Right, sure. Yeah, I can see that.
And to give you a little background, Texarkana is one of the worst places on Earth.
No, is this close to where you live?
No, this is... Okay, this might as well be two states over. This is right... It's called Texarkana because half of it is in Texas and half of it is in Arkansas.
Ugh.
Paper mill. Smells like farts.
Yeah.
I worked there for a month doing construction when I was like 16. Awful place.
Half Arkansas, half Texas?
Ugh.
Oh my God.
It's like
East
half
Texas.
Puke, half goat butter.
Hey, I like that goat butter.
Yeah, Texas is the goat butter. That's good.
I'm just saying it's not used to that type of butter.
Yeah, it's different.
More details on the first assault is the man brought them out of the car and then told the guy, take your pants off.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And so the guy,
that's his calling card, the take your pants off murderer. And see, that's a good name.
Yeah, I would be terrified by
so
that guy.
So the guy took his pants off down to his ankle. The guy hit him twice in the head. And the woman was sexually assaulted, although she does maintain that she was never raped.
Okay.
So what do you mean? Like he was just kissing her?
Like just grabbing at her.
He just put down a blanket. He had some red wine with him, some nice fromages.
I'm not into... You know what? This is like only the third worst date I've been on, but
yeah.
I didn't ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
So the man...
They sat and they watched When Harry Met Sally, and then afterwards she was like, I don't know if I like the way he held my hand. It's a sexual assault!
I agree.
I don't want to get Jezebel in our tale.
Yep. The next
don't.
Of course not. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
It's good. Any news is good news, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Got to get those female bloggers to hate us. Won't be hard. Won't be hard.
Next up was Richard Griffin and Pollyann Moore.
Too busy falling in love with our voices.
Yes.
I love female bloggers.
Only two weeks later, Richard Griffin and Pollyann Moore, again on a secluded country road, while they were making time out by the moonlight.
Oh, my.
Man comes up with a .32 revolver, brings them out of the car, shoots him both in the head, and then puts him back in the car. Did not sexually assault the woman
but
that
he,
time.
Did he, like, nail the dude's hands at 10 and 2 and then put the radio on?
That would be good, yeah.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how.
It was 1946, so it was like...
Oh, yeah.
That's a good song to roll down a mountain dead to.
Get a little thimble for your gal.
Yeah.
Less than a month later, Paul Martin and Betty Jo Booker, a 15-year-old aspiring saxophonist who had just played... who had just played a gig with her band, The Rhythm Heirs.
And later on would be loosely based on the character Lisa Simpson.
Ooh.
They were found murdered in their car. Again, Mary Jo, she was taken out of the car, raped, shot in the head, and then put back in the car. Her saxophone was found, thrown from the car in a mud ditch where it stayed for months.
No respect for music. This is the same guy, right?
And the Rhythm Heirs never played again.
Isn't that tragic? And they had a gig booked.
I just imagine the same sort of mass killer, like going through the village in New York and just like killing girls and throwing their ukuleles out
Get
into
out
the
of
street.
Here.
Ah, it's the winsome ukulele player murderer.
I would be happy if he did that. If there was a serial killer out there and you're listening, please.
The calling card is cute, sort of like dirty parody songs played on the ukulele.
Feel free. Take them out. So they assume this is all the same guy.
This is the same guy. So, okay. And this is the time that the streets of Texarkana went fucking insane. Because now you've got an assault and two and four murders.
I just think it's interesting
like
how
you month and a half.
You can see him actually, like, the first one, he just beats him. Doesn't really do anything. Then finally he gets to killing. And then finally he gets to killing and raping. Like, he's really figuring this out slowly.
Well, they all talk about it. Ted Bundy had an amazing quote. And he was talking about how the first time that you... the first time you do a murder, you know where everything is and it's perfectly planned. The 30th time you do a murder, you forget where the lug wrench is.
Yo. I love that that's a Ted Bundy joke.
Yo, that's him. He understands. Yeah, we all get sick of our job. You know, even we get lazy here on Last Podcast.
Of course.
Actually, no, we don't. Because we respect our audience. We're not like Ted Bundy, who gave up 30 times in. Because we're 84 in.
That's
and I never forget where the fucking lug wrench is. And it's always right here in my big old greasy pocket.
That's true, everybody. He keeps a lug wrench.
Because I got a ham and cheese croissant in there as well.
So the town of Texarkana is going fucking nuts. People are shooting each other accidentally on a damn near weekly basis.
Of course it is, because it's also probably one of the... It's like the Gaza Strip in terms of who's got armaments on them at any given point. Yet old Bubba's got a fucking like Civil War cannon in his backyard going like, I'm going to get that Phantom.
And that would be great.
And people are building these like elaborate pots and pans booby traps near their doors.
Pots and pans booby traps.
See, y'all, you want to take a look over here is that I have put, if you notice, I've put an octagon of banana peels in front of my door frame here, and then when he flips up, what I'm hoping is that he slips on one of the various pots I could put in front of that, and that one of the pots ends up on his head, thus making him blind, and then I'll shoot him in the throat.
Oh, wow. You could just shoot him to begin with.
No, I like the sounds of a man falling through a bunch of pots and pans. It's like a lullaby to me.
Oh, all right. What are you using to cook in your kitchen right now? All the pots and pans seem to be outside.
I mean, old Bessie better fucking figure it out, or she gonna get the pots and pan treatment herself.
Okay, well, I'm sure she will then. So the
no
city
one wants the pots and pans treatment. The city council set up a reward fund. It got up to over $4,200.
Oh, wow.
For any
town?
And all information regarding leading to the arrest of the Phantom of Texarkana.
$4,200 and you get all entitlement to Bessie Jackson.
Oh, wow.
I'm here to serve the community.
And so this is the point when the Texas Rangers get involved and send down Manuel Lone Wolf Gonzalez.
Oh, cool. All right.
This is an amazing story.
Yeah.
Is this not ever been made into a movie?
It has. It was called The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
The Town
That
Dreaded
Sundown.
Oh, yes.
And it's supposed to be really good, right?
Yeah. It's supposed to be like kind of like a campy-ish, like, but pretty good horror movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone else?
I was saving that reveal for the end. Thanks, Henry.
Damn it.
You blew it, Henry. You blew the whole goddamn thing. Did anybody else
think? I'm no Ira Glass.
Well, thank God.
And so
thank
Gonzalez
God for that. Did anybody else picture Lorenzo Lamas from Renegade?
Yeah.
I could see that, right? The lone wolf.
I pictured the fat sheriff from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Okay, different versions of the guy.
Yeah, you're looking more modern, yeah.
That's true, okay.
I was looking at a handsome young Gilbert Gottfried.
Sure. All three of these could work. Just do an amalgamation of all three of those characters.
Amalgamation.
Yeah, so Gonzalez came into town and, of course, fueled the hysteria because he's a fucking idiot. He went on the radio and said,
I've seen the Phantom and he's got wings.
That Texarkanians should, quote, oil up their guns and see if they're loaded. Put them out of reach of children. Do not use them unless it's necessary. But if you believe it is, do not hesitate. When asked what the advice he would give to the quiet the town's fear, he responded, I'd tell them to check the locks and bolt on their doors and get a double-barreled shotgun to take care of any intruder who tried to get in.
This just sounds like what's happening in Florida right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Nothing has changed. Definitely. Stand your ground.
And
just
so,
in case any phantoms and everybody winks, the whole town winks at once and everyone does quotation marks at once.
Yeah. And we know what they mean. We know what they're talking about.
And so at this point, all of the murders are teenagers on Lover's Lane.
Yeah. Making out, necking.
However, at this point, the cops are everywhere, but this man still feels the urge to kill.
Man, and old Todd has got his blue balls up his fucking ass because he hasn't been able to go out to make out point with
terrible.
Lucy anytime soon.
I know it.
So he goes out into the Starks Ranch way outside of town. He goes, Virgil is sitting on his front porch. Katie's inside cooking dinner. Guy shows up. He shoots Virgil in the face twice. Katie goes out and sees it. She runs back inside. The Texarkana Phantom shoots her in the face twice. She gets away, runs down the road to her sister's place, calls the cops, and the Texarkana Phantom is never seen again. However, they do believe that at one point they did arrest the guy who was responsible. His name was, let's see here, Yellman.
Yellman?
Yellman?
Yeah. Yell Sweeney. Yale Sweeney.
Yale Sweeney did
Yale
this?
Yale Sweeney.
Little dumb boy Yale Sweeney did this?
Yeah, he was found because it was believed that the Texarkana Phantom would steal a car, commit the murder, and then dump the car. Mm. And Sweeney was found with a stolen car. There were some fingerprint matches. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was linked to the crime.
When they went to arrest him. He left several of his wigs at the scene of the crime.
Yes.
Not my beautiful wigs. Oh, I don't want anyone to see how balding I am. Oh, I must be presentable.
The Phantom of Texarkana.
His wife provided details of the murder. It's like, my husband said that he did this. However, okay. A wife is not required to testify against her husband in trial. So they never had any evidence, so he never actually...
That's a good fucking wife there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, after he was arrested, the murder stopped. However, some people in town claim that the murderer was rumored to be from a well-to-do Texarkana family.
Intriguing.
Them rich people up there, I guarantee it's them rich people up there on that hill. They're sending their sons down here to fucking murder us, kill our children.
They just think we're a bunch of pigs and cows, and I'll have them know we're a bunch of goats and chickens.
I agree. So what's the death toll for this guy? What's the total?
The death toll on him is 5.
5. But he attempted to do, what,
7? Yeah.
5 out of 7?
Yeah, not bad.
Not terrible. I mean, you shoot a girl twice in the face, you gotta kill her.
At the same time, I mean, you just ruined her dating life.
Yeah.
You know, because she's now too old Betsy for the rest of her life.
I agree.
She's like, nah, I got 4 holes.
I mean, somebody might be into it. Who knows?
Yeah, so dude, yeah, just putting his dick in her other face hole.
Yeah. Not letting it heal up.
Well, that's wonderful.
I love it. So let's see. Any other unsolved crimes?
Let me quickly go over a guy that I was researching, a guy called the Axeman of New Orleans.
Axeman of New Orleans.
Now, again, this sounds like some sort of blues player, but it's not.
He does.
It's a man who killed Italian grocers in the early 1900s. But he hit him in the head with an axe.
Okay.
But the thing was, is that, so back in the day, so 1911, like, there's not a lot of, mostly what came out about this, like, unknown case is the fact that it was, like, the first time newspapers came out and talked about this idea of a dual personality. Like, everyone was obsessed with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at the time because it had, like, just come out. And, like, everyone was, like, kind of talking about that and in terms of people for the first time, and the idea of a guy that could have two separate personalities, essentially because the X-Men wrote this, like, really ridiculous letter to the police, which I'm going to read very soon. But he just went – he killed a couple of Italian grocers called the Maggios. They apparently – then officially changed their name to the Machios, which is how they eventually became, you know, Ralph Macchio. That's the family line.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Yeah, they were in the karate.
None of that's true.
That's not true.
But then he killed a Polish grocer and his mistress. He didn't really kill the. He killed the mistress. He didn't kill the dude. But the thing,
this guy's got a real vendetta against grocers.
I don't know what it is. I think that he was afraid of cantaloupes.
Yeah,
I think
something
that
like
he
that.
Was trying to get his sort of. I think he was starting the first Whole Foods,
and
he was going against the corporate chills around
him. Destroy the competition.
But the way I guess axes were made in 1911, that you could just hit a dude like 3 or 4 times in the head with an axe, and it would kind of just like hurt him. They were really dull.
So they didn't die.
He didn't split their heads open. He, like, it's like essentially like a big pointed hammer back in the day.
Yeah, okay. He tried killing a pregnant woman and failed.
Yes.
He failed to kill a pregnant woman?
Yes.
She was 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, and he hit her in the head a bunch of times with an axe.
I mean, it doesn't sound like an axe. It sounds like a muddler you could make guacamole with.
I think that's what they meant to call him, was the muddler of New Orleans.
Yeah, and the muddler of New Orleans. That's terrifying.
But the way he would, the common thing that linked him to all this crimes is that because Italians used to live like rats escaping from a sinking ship,
sure,
they all lived in wooden shanty houses.
Right.
So he would just, instead of breaking in, he just cut a hole in the back of the house.
So he just took like an X-Acto knife and just
like
made a door.
Like made a door in the back of the house and go in. And it was like the first one, it was like the grocers that were killed. It was three brothers living with three brothers and then one of the brothers' wives. And they're all just mashed together in a fucking like, essentially a wooden tent.
So it's like what... It's as close as it, you could possibly get to, like, an Acme cartoon.
Yes.
Like when Wile E.
Like
Coyote
Tenement
throws
House. Yes.
Like when he throws a piece of, like, a black circle against a wall and just creates an...
He's the Wile E. Coyote of North.
Did he scalp a lot of window to escape from?
Well, he would do a lot of... Yeah, he would draw, like, a sort of... For victims, how he killed his victims, so he would find a gigantic cave wall.
Okay.
And he would paint... Like a road going through it. Like
okay.
It was like a sort of tunnel, you know, like yeah. The other side. And they would just go in there and they would smash their fucking brains.
So they did it
on
to
the
themselves.
Cave wall.
Brilliant.
No. He was just. But they suspect that he may have been kind of retarded. But yeah. I would like to.
He was very bad at what he did.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did he kill anybody?
He killed a 2-year-old girl.
Yeah. He killed the one of the.
Not
he
tough.
Killed, he killed two people.
Okay.
And then the rest of it was just like. The Axeman's coming, and then they like because for a long time they thought that it was just mob related killings because
right.
Back in 1900, early 1900s, New Orleans, the whole town was run by the mob. So they just thought this guy was just a mob hitman who
sure.
was just a moron. But then it turned out like you know, no, he's the Axeman of New Orleans, and he probably could.
He's a muddler.
There's a lot of people who said that the muddler of New Orleans could have possibly been one of the richer sons of one of the wealthy. Members of society.
Well, there. He's obviously an inbred. No doubt about that.
Obviously.
It's always this.
Yeah.
This is the common. Fucking. You're always just like, but maybe it's a nobility son. Well, I don't know
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me read the letter.
Yeah, let's read the Axeman letter, the muddler letter here.
And I'm going to read it in proper dialect of the time.
New Orleans.
Hail, March 13, 1919. Yeah, the immortal. They have never caught me, and they near will. They have never seen me. I'm invisible. Even as the ether that surrounds the earth, I'm not the air I'm being, but the spirit.
I'm reading along with you, and I can't understand what you're
but
saying.
A spirit and a demon from the hottest hell. I am what you Orleanians. And your foolish police call the Axeman.
He when named himself. You can't name yourself.
He called himself.
He's the muddler.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the Axeman. When I see fear, I shall come and claim other victims. I alone know whom they shall be. I shall leave no clue except my bloody axe. Besmeared with blood and brains of the he whom I have sent below to keep me a crumple now.
This man is wearing a cape made of a
I hope you like gumbo or Creole.
That's not a part
soup.
Of the letter.
If you wish, you may tell the police to be careful not to rile me. Of course, I am a reasonable spirit. I take no offense at the way they have conducted their investigations in the past. In fact, they have been so utterly stupid as to not only amuse me, but His Satanic Majesty, Francis Joseph, etc. But tell them to beware. Let them not try to discover what I am, for it were better that they were never born to incur the wrath of the Axeman.
I'm the Axeman.
I'm the Axeman.
Yeah, that
beep,
is the thing. He is wearing an aluminum foil hat and a fucking blanket
cape right
now. I
don't think there
is
any need of any such warning, for I feel sure the police will always dodge me, as they have in the past. They are wise and know how to keep away from all harm. Undoubtedly, you Orleanians think of me as the most horrible murderer, which I am. But I could be much worse if I wanted to. If I wished, I could pay a visit to your city every night. At will, I could slay thousands of your best citizens.
Thousands?
For I am in close relationship with the Angel of Death. Now, to be exact, at 12:15 earthly time.
What other time is he talking about?
Hell's time!
His time!
Okay.
Hell's time.
On next Tuesday night, I'm going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I'm going to make a little proposition to you people. Here it is. I am very fond of Yaz music. And I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned. If everyone has a jazz band going, well, then so much the better for you people. One thing is certain is that some of your people who do not jazz it on Tuesday night, if there be any, will get the axe.
Oh my goodness.
Well, as I am cold and crave the warmth of my native Tartarus, it is about time I leave your earthly home. I will cease my discourse, hoping that thou wilt publish this, and that it may go well with thee. I have been, am, and will be the worst spirit that ever existed, either in fact or realm of fancy. The Axeman.
The Axeman did not write that letter.
The Muddler of New Orleans.
There is no way in hell the Axeman wrote
that. I think
it
was written by Jared Logan.
That's
it was
great.
A dandy fop who wanted a jazz party on Tuesday.
I think it was some kind of like a saxophonist.
Saxophonist, Jared Logan.
Sex-fastenist?
Sex-fastenist.
Well, that's great. I love the Axeman.
And then,
much.
Really quick, I read about another thing called the West Mesa Bone Collector, which I read about it, and I was so excited to learn about. I was like, ooh, because they found 11 prostitutes and one fetus buried
one
in
fetus.
A field.
And this is current. They found them in 2009.
This is 2009, okay. And I was like, this is amazing. They were all involved in something with the drug cartel. I was like, Bone Collector.
Right.
Why the fuck is this guy called the Bone Collector? You know, it's like, did he take the bones? Did he make it in a hat?
Right.
You know, that's what I want to
read
about.
It's a heavy hat, though.
So I Googled West Mesa Bone Collector, and this is the first thing that came up was this video.
Okay. It's the West Mesa Bone Collector.
It sits above the manor on a couple rusty nails.
This
song came up first?
This song. Bunch of money.
But it dang sure ain't for sale.
It's some guy put it up as his English project and changes all the curse words on the actual video so that he could show it to his class.
A project I did for English that I thought I might as well go ahead and put on here.
The song's called Granddaddy's Gun.
What's it all about?
It's all about standing your ground.
Yeah.
And never letting anybody tell you what you need to do on your block.
That's right. Good, good.
Your daddy's gone. The whole time it's all talking about all the dudes and animals that granddaddy shot with his favorite gun.
It's right. A bit of a psychotic song. I mean, it's you know, a gun.
Yeah. It's a love song to your weird grandfather's gun.
It would be cool if his grandfather was the Zodiac Killer.
Granddaddy's call.
That would be kind of fun.
When he shoved inside my grandma there and he made me watch it all, Granddaddy's call.
That's a great song.
And of course, there are plenty of other ones. So there's the Cleveland Torso Murder. That guy is actually a fucking... like a kill 12 people.
Yeah, I mean that guy's for real.
Like the Cleveland Torso murdered, killed 12 people. Decapitation.
And then he'd always do this thing where he'd like cut the head and the arms and legs off and like put him in a bunch of leaves and be like, you know, and then right underneath it like rustle, you know, and then like he'd nail him up to a wall and just be like art, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12
real creative.
12 confirmed victims. Only two of them were ever identified. All the rest of them were transients and hobos.
Well, yeah, because they didn't have any heads, arms, or legs.
Of them, about half, had their heads missing.
Do we have any belly buttons prints on this guy? Well, if he's never been arrested before.
Yeah. Sometimes he would cut them off at the torso, and then that's why he called the torso murder, because he would take the legs, and he would take the head and just kind of leave the torso and the arms for whatever
that's
reason.
That's kind of fun.
Who knows why?
Fun body to stumble over.
Yeah, and there's, you know, it's suspected that, I mean, it could be, he could have killed like dozens
some sort
more.
Of nobility son.
Yeah, some say that it
I'm
could
sure.
have been, some say it could be a nobility sonsman.
Sonsman.
It's also said that the torso murderer could have been the Black Dahlia murderer.
It could have may have also been the no head, no legs murderer.
Because he had no heads, no legs.
He also did the same thing, but it wasn't like torso specific. It was more about what he did with the heads and the legs.
Right.
He's also rumored to be the perpetrator of 17 murders in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, referred to as the Murder Swamp Killer.
All right.
Yeah, you see,
Murder Swamp, I guess.
I love these unsolved crimes.
Yeah, and his other alias is the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run.
That's great.
See, yes. Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run. That sounds like a guy I can get behind.
That's where
definitely.
A lot of his bodies were found. That there in Jackass Hill.
Jackass Hill.
Jackass Hill. Yeah. Why do you even go there? Is that a makeout point?
Hey, Dolly, you want to come out to Jackass Hill? She's like, no, Jackass.
I ain't going to have sex with you, Jackass.
They're all makeout points.
Yeah,
of
all
course.
Of them are. And of course, there's the Chicago Tylenol murders.
That's right.
Or murders, which were absolutely never solved. I'm sure a lot of
what
us.
What was the story behind that? That is just like a guy just put
there's
his
seven people died, and then. Just a dude put a bunch of poison in a bunch of Tylenol. And the thing is, we don't really have time to get into it now, but it's like the cool thing is it completely changed America forever because now you have those fucking gel caps.
Yeah,
and you can't like open up anything. And it's like,
which
you know, it's
love.
Like Son of Sam made women change their haircuts for like a month.
Yeah.
But like he changed like every single time
natural,
you go to the
like
pharmacy.
National policy.
Yeah, like national policy, which is nuts.
But that's the same thing too. It's just like
we can actually talk about that in a domestic terrorism episode.
Well, it's the whole thing. So it's like anybody could like because you barely pay attention if the cap is popped when you get a drink. So it's like anybody could stick a needle filled with AIDS into a Snapple.
I don't know if that's how you transmit AIDS.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you might want to get a
anybody could take a bunch of AIDS germs and rub them on your pillows.
Sure,
and then you got AIDS now.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I think that's a possibility.
Which is a livable disease.
Right, right.
You know? Yeah. And it's just rough. You just got to take a pill every day. It's hard.
Yes, and hopefully that pill isn't poisoned as well.
Yeah.
That would be a real double doozy.
And then very quickly, there's Bible John who killed women in Glasgow who were on their period.
That happens.
They called him Bible John because a girlfriend of one of the girls that he murdered met him, and he was just like, I know the Lord. He was just like,
right.
It was like to quote Bible scriptures.
Of course.
Over and over
real boring fellow.
Really fun
definitely.
Guy.
I mean, yeah, until you find out he was a murderer, and you're like, Bible John?
Oh,
I didn't know he was so cool.
I can smell their periods from here.
Kill him.
Oh, God, I just want to get some of that lady jam
lady
up
jam.
In my nose.
Rub that marmalade on some toast. That's what they should call it from now on. Menstruation is now lady jam or marmalade.
Mammalade.
Thick it
like
is.
Mammaries.
Mammerlade. All right, guys. I have to get out of here. Hail yourselves, everybody.
All right.
And fill me in about all the sweet information.
All right.
All right. Love you guys. Hail yourselves. Talk to you later.
Get out of here.
I'm out of here.
We don't need you.
All right.
Ben had to go, so we don't get to fill your ears with the delicious, evil details of the Zodiac Killer and all of the delights that are brought along with the conspiracy theories as to who the man was and who the man definitely wasn't, who is all of San Francisco.
Yes, everyone in the city of San Francisco, although it could have been an avant-garde art project. It could have been Satanists.
It could have been the San Francisco Police Department playing a game on themselves. It could have been the Unabomber.
It could have been MK Ultra.
Literally the deepest, darkest rabbit hole that I have ever experienced researching for last podcast. Next episode, we're covering the Zodiac exclusively. If you did it, if you're a listener who did it, fucking come on, you know, give it up.
Yeah.
Give us an exclusive.
We know you're out there.
Arthur Allen? He's dead. I'm sorry.
He's very dead.
I'll get into Arthur Allen later on. Don't get me started, all right? I won't blame a Satanist. Yeah. I read two things about Satanists talking about the Zodiac Killer, and they were both being like, he'd never be the type of trigger man they choose. It's more of a Prescott Bush that they would choose. It's like, yes, I know, yes, we all want old evil men working for Satanists, but sometimes you gotta have a young buck. But thank you guys. We will bring you some Zodiac knowledge next week.
Too much.
Too much.
Al Gein.
I literally didn't sleep last night. How much information was rolling around in my head.
I didn't sleep the night before.
Heil me!
Goodbye. Me gustalations.
Me gustalations.
Oh, and happy birthday, Amanda. Happy birthday from all of us. Goodbye.